So let's do our confession. And starting off with, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Father God, feed me your word. If you believe you're going to be fed, would you make noise this morning? Amen. So this morning, the title for today is Rebrand. Rebrand. Looking at what it means and what it takes to have a rebrand, the importance of it, and it is a marketing term. It's not necessarily a word, but when you see it that way, it is a marketing term. And I will go ahead and define it from marketing standards. It means this: rebranding refers to the process of changing or updating a brand's identity, often in response to shifts in the market, company values, or customer perceptions. It can involve anything from minor visual tweaks to a complete overhaul of the brand, including its name, logo, visual identity, and messaging. So a rebrand is like a freshness. And those of you who have grown up with certain brands that you've seen all your life, many of them have gone through rebrands. The Coca-Cola that you drink doesn't look like it did in the 1950s. It's the same Coca-Cola, but they've adjusted some things. And so as we move into a brand new year, many times we are often thinking about newness and new things. But by the time you get to June, a lot of that newness has faded and fallen off. And so what I feel like I'm instructed to do on this morning is to make you remember the rebrand. What do you need to do as you begin to curtail toward the end of the year? Yes, it's just June, but 2026 is already fast approaching. So what do you need to do to rebrand? I'll tell you something that happened concerning this ministry several years ago. It was well before I was a pastor. I believe it was probably 2007, somewhere around that, 2006, 2007. And I simply was in a prayer time. I happened to be in the church. I was over in the old building in the church. And I just heard God say this. He said, "You guys have the bomb ministry." And I was like, "Well, thank you, God." And then he said, "For 1987. And this was 2007. So what he was letting me know is that we had a lot of potential, but we were a little bit behind. And so we needed to do a rebrand. At the time, we had no logo. At the time, we had no online presence. And so 4 years later, when I became the pastor, I knew that I was going to have to push us further into the newer century. Now, there's a lot of churches that are in this century, but there are other churches, when you walk in them, you feel like you've entered into the 1960s. There's nothing has changed. Just change is not a bad thing. Change is not a bad word. Sometimes change is just necessary for the seasons. Another thing that I'll say, and I've shared it before, one way you can clearly tell someone has lost their mind is when they don't adjust to the season. When you see someone in 20 below zero wearing the bikini, you know they've lost their mind. When you see someone in 85 degree weather with a full fur and trench coat, you know something's not right with their mind. Certain seasons require certain things. And the problem with a lot of Christians, we want to stay the same even though the seasons are changing and shifting around us. And every now and then, you just need to rebrand. And when it comes to a brand, do you understand that you are your brand? you are your own brand. Other times, in other words, people, many times, you are marketing to people whether you know it or not. If you look good but smell bad, you are marketing that something's wrong with your hygiene. If your breath is bad, you're marketing that. So you have to understand that you are a brand, and sometimes in life we need a rebrand. We need a readjustment. So what in your life needs to be rebranded? What needs to go up a notch, and maybe what needs to go down a notch? And sometimes what happens is market research determines the rebrand. If everybody in your life is telling you that you're too angry, it's a possibility that the market is dictating you need some adjustments. If everybody in your life is telling you you need to calm down, it's a possibility you need to rebrand in the area of your anxiety. And so when I talk about a rebrand, we're saying looking at ourselves in the mirror and seeing where do we need to make adjustments. Now, what's interesting, when you look at a rebrand, it's not always a major overhaul. Sometimes it's just small adjustments. Sometimes it's just small things that'll get you to the next level. As it relates to your money and your finances, sometimes it's just small adjustments that can propel you forward. Maybe the $5 coffee you get at Starbucks every day, you take that and invest that $5 instead. That could just rebrand your finances and push you into another level. I'm not talking about a major overhaul. I'm just talking about some baby steps that might get you to where you need to be. What do I need to do to make this rebrand? And so in order to do this, we're going to talk about some people in the scripture. But before we do that, I want to give us a very famous scripture that will help us as we move forward. I will read it. It's Isaiah 43, verse 18. It says, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old." Then it goes on to say, and Brother Dylan, could you put it up for us? "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." I'm going to do a new thing. Now, here's something that you have to understand. Rivers don't belong in a desert. But God is willing to do what's opposite of what you've seen up until this point, because he wants to do a new thing. And sometimes the new thing he wants to do has your name on it, and all you have to do is adjust so you can get the new thing that God wants to do in your life. So what we're going to do, we're going to work through four biblical rebrands from the Old Testament and their purpose. And what I'm going to do, I'm actually going to start off with the purpose, and then as we get into the scripture, you will figure out who the person was. And then I'll give you a takeaway from that thing, and hopefully I can tie it all together. So the first thing we want to show you is point number one, which is destiny. All of us have a destiny or a destination, and so many times we are rebranding based on our destiny. In other words, what I'm saying to you, Sister Teresa and everyone here, what I'm saying is some of y'all won't reach your destination without a change. You won't achieve your destiny without some adjustments. I say it all the time, but there's two major ways you can get to Chicago from Muncie, Indiana. You can take State Road 26 west and hit 65 north, or you can go through Indianapolis and then hit 65. The problem is if you go through Indianapolis, Indianapolis is south of Muncie, and Chicago is north of Muncie. So at some point when you're traveling from Muncie to Indianapolis, you're going to have to get on 65 north, because if you keep traveling south, there's no way you'll ever make it to Chicago, because Chicago is not south, it is north. Sometimes you will have to go south to go north. And the reason why we do that is because 26 is a two-lane highway. And 65 through Indianapolis is fast-paced. And many times you can actually go faster by going south, but you have to make an adjustment somewhere. And the problem with some of us, God has us on one path, and we think the path he has us on is supposed to be there forever. But God wants to make an adjustment, but many times we buck the system because we don't like change. Let me just bring it into brass tacks. Some of y'all are 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 generations away with your phone. You can upgrade your phone. You got a free upgrade waiting, but I don't like it when stuff is all moved around. But then my call keeps dropping. I don't know why. I never get no signal. Your phone is too old. You're going to have to rebrand, readjust. But I don't like change. So here's the thing. If you don't like change, then don't complain about what you're suffering. If you're not going to make the simple adjustments. So destiny is very important, and rebranding can help you with your destiny. We all have a destiny, but what I don't want to do is at the end of my life is not reach where I was supposed to be. All right, let's look at Genesis 17, verse 1. Read this.
When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life."
So we're going to talk about Abram, and the first rebrand we'll go with him. Let's look at verse 2.
"I will make a covenant with you by which I will guarantee to give you countless descendants."
All right, verse 3.
"At this, Abram fell face down on the ground. Then God said to him."
Verse 4.
"This is my covenant with you. I will make you the father of a multitude of nations."
All right, Abram, the name Abram, did not mean father of multitude. But the covenant and the promise and the destiny over his life was bigger than the name that he had. All right, verse 5 says what?
"What's more, I am changing your name."
I'm rebranding you.
"It will no longer be Abram. Instead, you will be called Abraham. For you will be the father of many nations."
I'm going to do something in your life, but in order for me to do what I need to do in your life, I got to change your name. You are Abram, but I'm going to make you Abraham. We know him as Abraham, but he's also Jehovah. Jehovah, he was Yahweh. And so what happens is I'm going to put the ha in your name. In other words, I'm going to get in the middle of your situation, and I'm going to rebrand you based on my covenant, based on my promise, because I have a destiny that I want you to end up that's going to affect everybody that's connected to you. So I'm going to get in the middle of your situation, but in order for me to do that, I can no longer tolerate you being called by what you used to be. I got to call you what I want you to be, because your destiny is too great to hold on to what's in the past. So I'm making you Abraham. So every time his name was said and every time his name was spoken, the destiny over his life was spoken. Stop talking about I'm just an addict. No, you're not. You were an addict, and maybe you currently are an addict, but that's not who you're going to be. So start rebranding based on where you're going, not based on where you've been. All right, the next verse, verse 6. Look at how he says it in verse 6.
"I will make you extremely fruitful."
Extremely fruitful.
"Your descendants will become many nations, and kings will be among them."
Kings will come out of you. Now if we know the story, those of us who are Bible scholars, we know that when he was Abram, he had no seed at all. But his destiny said, "I'm going to bring kings out of you." Many times the destiny that God has for us doesn't match what we see in the mirror. That's why God says, "I'm going to change your name and I'm going to rebrand you, because I want you to rethink where I'm taking you, not just where you've been." All right. And so we look at verse 7.
"I will confirm my covenant with you and your descendants after you from generation to generation. This is the everlasting covenant. I will always be your God and the God of your descendants after you."
All right, 8.
"And I will give the entire land of Canaan, where you now live as a foreigner, to you and your descendants. It will be their possession forever, and I will be their God.
Verse 9 says what?
Then God said to Abraham, your responsibility is to obey the terms of the covenant. You and all your descendants have this continual responsibility.
All I need you to do is obey me, because I'm planning on doing some great things. Many of us, we understand the story. When you read from Genesis and you keep on reading, you see the story of that covenant playing out. So even though it is a rebranding based on destiny, the key is covenant. And so in order for us to understand that, I want to make this statement about covenant. They're going to put it up for me. And this is what it says. Without covenant, destiny is just potential. With covenant, destiny becomes inevitable because God commits himself to your future. The reason why I want you to rebrand yourself is because now you have a new partnership. I'm getting in the ship with you, and you're going to make it to your destination because I'm getting in there with you, and together we have a partnership, and now we are co-laborers. The Bible says we are co-laborers of God, and that makes us who we're supposed to be. Just the other day, I was thinking about a place I used to go to when I was young called Long John Silver's. Y'all remember Long John Silver's? And I noticed it, and I'm just being silly right now, but I think it is a front for drugs, because ain't nobody ever in line, and it's still in business. I don't know how they still in business. But I just kind of got to thinking about Long John Silver's and researching it, because now Long John Silver's and A&W, they're always together. Well, what happened, there was a rebranding where in order for neither one of them to go bankrupt, they came together. And so now you can pull up to Long John Silver's and also get a burger from A&W, because there was a co-partnership to keep them moving forward. Well, before I knew the Lord, all you could get from me was evil and deceit and trouble and no good. But when God became my partner, and when God got on my team, and when God became the CEO of my life, when God got on my board of directors, it made a difference. The reason why I had to rebrand is because when the good company comes in here with the bad company and takes over the bad company can no longer be the bad company, because the good company has elevated it. I'm elevated because God has got on my team. All right, that leads us to number two. Number two is blessings. And so we're going to give you the person and the purpose. And so the purpose is destiny with Abraham. And now another purpose for a rebrand is for blessings. And we're going to give you another person, which is in line with the first person we talked about, which is verse 15 of Genesis 17 says what?
Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name.
She's got to have a rebrand too. One of the worst things that can happen is you try to rebrand and the folk that are with you don't want to make adjustments too. No, everything has to adjust. Everything has to come up. Everything has to make some changes. And so your wife does as well. Let's look at verse 16. It says what?
I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her.
Now, with Abraham, the overarching goal was covenant and destiny. But with Sarah said, it's actually about blessings. I'm going to bless her, but I can't bless her unless she makes some changes. So I'm going to speak something over her name as well. You're Abram, and I'm changing you to Abraham. She's Sarai, and I'm changing her to Sarah, which is that same, that same, I'm getting in the mix. And when God gets in the mix, it requires a rebrand. It requires a adjustment. It requires some difference, and it makes an elevation out of something that is just normal. Let's put up this here that'll tie it together. It says this: sometimes you need an identity change to see the blessings God wants to bring into your life. It's not that God doesn't want to bless his people. It's that God can't bless some people in their current state. So there has to be some adjustment. Now, this is not in my notes, but I'll share because it's the biblical principle. It's the wine and the wine glasses. It's the old wine and the new wine. The old wine and the old wineskins. The new wine and the new wineskins. So at some point in throughout history, science realized that because wine expands, the best thing to hold wine is glasses. That's why we have wines in bottles. But before, in the old days, there were wine skins. It was animal skins that would hold the wine. But the problem with animal skins is as they become old, they would become old and brittle. And wine expands. And so the scripture says you can't put new wine into old wine skins. Because what happens is the new wine will get into the old wineskin and it will try to expand. And in the expansion, what happens is the old wineskin is too brittle. It's not flexible enough. It won't adjust enough. It won't rebrand itself enough. It's too rigid. And what happens is the new wine bursts out of the old wineskin and it spills all over the ground. In other words, the new wine gets wasted because the container would not adjust. And so Jesus gives that example. So I'm saying the same thing to us. God wants to pour his blessings on us, but are we willing to adjust and be flexible enough that we can hold what God wants us to hold? The anointing you had in 1970 is not the same anointing you need for 2025 and 2026. You're going to have to adjust. We want God to step into our situation, but we never want to make any room. Now, when he first came, yes, he showed up in a manger. But in our lives, he should not still have to come in a manger. We ought to make room for him, make room for what he wants. If God wants to bless you, are you willing to make the adjustments to have the blessing? It could look like several things, but many times, it's sometimes as simple as throwing stuff out to bring stuff in. Let me talk to all of us. Many times all of us have a pack rat mentality. We got stuff in our house that we go to throw away, and in our mind it tells us, I'm going to use it sometime. 6 years later, I'm probably going to use that. It's a possibility that God's not going to give you new stuff until you get rid of the old stuff. Until you let go of some stuff, till you throw away some stuff. I know we have spring cleaning, but some of y'all need to do some summer cleaning in your mentality, in your thought process. Because God, I want you to bless me, but I got to shed some stuff. I got to let go of some stuff. I'm too heavy in this area, and I'm not talking about physical fat. I'm talking about the fat that's blocking my blessing. Let me let go. I'm going through a rebrand. The next time you see me, I'm going to look different because I'm letting go of some stuff to be what God wants me to be and to get what God wants me to have. All right. Let's go on to number three. Number three is victory. We're going to tie this in with the blessing. Here's another famous rebrand. So we looked at Abram to Abraham. Now we've seen Sarai to Sarah, and now we're going to victory. We're still in Genesis, but we're fast-forwarding several scriptures, and we're going to go to, several chapters, and we're going to go to chapter 32, verse 25.
When he saw that he had not prevailed against him, he touched the socket of his thigh, so the socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated while he wrestled with him.
This is the story of Jacob. And after Jacob has come through everything, after he was tricked with Leah and worked extra to get the sister Rachel, and now he's left his uncle Laban and he's on the road and he has this vision. And there's this angel that comes. The Bible calls it the angel of the Lord. And the scripture says he wrestles. And Jacob says it this way, which connects it to the last one. Jacob says, I'm not letting you go till you bless me. Now, if we know anything about Jacob, Jacob was a liar, a trickster, a schemer. When I talked on Mother's Day, I gave a quick example of how his mother taught him how to scheme. But over the course of time, Jacob began to understand, I can't stay like this forever. And so, God, I need a blessing, and I'm willing to wrestle to get my blessing. And the connotation is you're wrestling with your own stuff, with your own demons, with your own issues, so you can be what God wants you to be. I can't stay like this forever, so I'm wrestling the old Andre. I'm wrestling the old man, and I'm wrestling with a new God. I'm trying to grab God and let go of what's holding me. These old ways are holding me. These old mindsets are holding me. Lust is grabbing me, but I'm trying to grab God. Here's the thing. If you're going to be what God wants you to be, you can't play around with this thing. Because when we leave these church walls, life stares us in the face. And sometimes we got to grab hold for dear life and say, God, I'm going to be blessed. Feel like 50 Cent, I'm going to get rich or die trying. I'm going to be blessed or die trying. I'm holding on. So he said, I'm not letting go till you bless me, God. All right. Verse 26 says what?
Then he said, let me go, for the dawn is breaking. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me.
So the spirit said, let me go. Jacob said, no, you got to have some bulldog tenacity. Sometimes the reason why we stay in the same rut, we don't have any tenacity about ourselves. We don't have any mindset to say, no, I just can't take no for an answer. I just can't stay here forever. So no, I don't care what it is. No, I'm pushing, I'm pressing, I'm moving on. Many of you in your health has been a struggle and a battle, and you just keep on pressing. You keep on pushing. You keep on fighting. I see Brother Jason, how he comes to the house of God. Whether he's stiff or not, he finds his way to the house of God. And there's other people that can move all around and won't walk five blocks, won't drive two blocks to the house of God. But Jason is in that struggle because he's trying to press. He wants something from God. And many of us can take a page out of his book. When you want something from God, this ain't the time to sleep in. This ain't the time to be lazy. This ain't the time to back up. This is the time to press in, because I'm going to get what God has for me. I want it. Back when I was playing basketball in my high school, the cheerleaders used to sing a song that says, you got to want it to win it, and we want it bad. You got to want it to win it, and we want it bad. The badder you want it, the more you'll fight to get it. People want a blessing, and they want a victory without any effort. But no, if I got to put effort in, I don't care. I want a W-I-N. I want victory. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Now, the song that we sang said, I told Satan. No, wait a second. Wait a second. That means while I'm pursuing victory, Satan is close enough for me to talk to him. So that means while I'm working on victory, the enemy is right next to me. But I told Satan, get thee behind. So that also means it's a probability that the enemy is ahead of me. The enemy is between me and my blessing. But I'm so sick of the devil getting in my way. I told Satan, get thee behind, because victory today is mine. Not tomorrow, not 2030, but right now, I want a blessing. Right now, I want victory. I'm holding on. I'm pressing. And if I got to rebrand myself to get what God wants from me, I'm going for it. Going for broke. My little dog, Bentley, it's funny. He likes tug of war. Most dogs like tug of war. And so, if I throw a little towel or something to him, and he'll grab it. And if I try to grab it back, immediately he goes.
You think he's mad, but he's actually playing. But what he's saying is, you just gave it to me. Don't take it so fast. Let me hold on to it. And I'm like that with God. God, you gave me some peace. I want to hold on to my peace. God, you gave me some joy. I want to hold on to my joy. I don't want to let it go. And the devil's always trying to steal my joy. He's always trying to steal my peace. He's always trying to steal my hope. But I'm holding on.
Oh, no. All right, let's look at verse 27.
So he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob.
So the spirit said, what's your name? And the name is Jacob, and Jacob means supplanter. Jacob means trickster. Jacob means deceitful. And here's the thing is, oh, okay, if you want it, don't have to have a rebrand. Look at what verse 28 says.
He said, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed.
And you've prevailed. You've got victory. And so I'm going to change your name. Now, in this case, the rebrand came based on what Jacob had already done. Jacob was further removed from the fool that he used to be. And here's the thing. Sometimes when you're growing up, you just do what everybody else does. But as you begin to go through life, and as you begin to have disappointments, and as you begin to struggle in life, it humbles you to where you wanted God's way. And so he said, I'm going to change your name. All right, so let's look at this. Let's tie these two scriptures together, which are normally not tied together. I'm using everything from the Old Testament, but I got one New Testament scripture I want to throw in there, and I think I'll read it when they put it up. It says this, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Oh, it's a possibility that what you have been doing, the reason why it's been so difficult is because you've been wrestling these spirits. It's not the people, it's the spiritual forces that are trying to drown you out, that are trying to take your voice, that are trying to take your anointing, that's trying to take everything that you have. So guess what I'm saying? Fight for it. Would you say it with me? Say, fight for it. Brother Dylan, help me out in the back. Would you fight for it? I want somebody who will fight for it. So we are wrestling with things. That means that you are going to have some demonic forces come after you. And that used to scare us, especially when we grew up and we've seen manifestations of demons. But that is no longer scaring me. And just so interesting, I didn't think I was going to talk about this, but I had a dream the other day. I was talking to the Lord, and I was asking a question, and I said, God, I've said it before, but it hasn't always been answered. I said, well, God, can you just, first of all, I was praying, but I was praying laying down. So I knew I was drifting off to sleep. And it's a possibility that by the time God was speaking back, I was already going to be in La La Land. So I said, God, if you want, you can answer me in a dream. I woke up from a dream. And in the dream, I was preaching, but I wasn't preaching to people. I was preaching to a bunch of folk, but it wasn't people. And I was laughing and smiling while I was preaching. And what was happening is I was preaching to demons. I wasn't preaching to demons to get them saved. I was preaching them and telling them how there was no way that they could stop us because of Jesus. I was talking about the blood of Jesus. And so when I woke up from the dream, my spirit, I could literally hear myself preaching. I almost had to wake myself up. When I woke up, God said, the answer to what you were praying is that no demon, devil in hell can stop y'all because you know the word of God. Yes. And every time you preach the word of God, the demons are trembling and falling because they know their end is near. And so it let me know that many times when we are wrestling, we're not wrestling because we don't have the victory. We are wrestling because we have the victory, and the devils are not wanting to give up. They don't want to end. They want to keep it going. Let me give you just a quick example, and I appreciate y'all for praying for my Indianapolis Pacers, but the New York Knicks, everybody said that it's over. When normally when you go up 3-1, the series is over. And so when they went to game 4, New York put a whooping on the Pacers. They were still trying to fight. They were still trying to have hope. But it was clear that Indiana was the better team. And what I'm trying to tell you is the devil knows he's a loser, but he's not just going to lay down and let you walk into a championship. He's going to put up a fight. But when you're the better team, all you got to do is do what you know to do, and the outcome is the outcome. And so what the Pacers did, they just played their game, and New York just couldn't keep up with them. They tried, but they just couldn't keep up. I'm trying to tell you, the demons are trying, but you are the better team. You are the better players. You have the anointing. You have the ascendancy. You have the power. So keep on preaching. Keep on singing. Keep on believing, because in the end, the trophy belongs to you. The victory belongs to you. And so, but the devil gonna try. He gonna try. One thing, it was an old preacher that said, one thing I gotta give to the devil, I don't like to give him a lot of credit, but he is a persistent cuss. Basically, that's the old way of saying that. He shows up at least. He gonna show up. He know he defeated and still gonna show up. Now, I can preach him under the table on Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon. He'll show up and try to mess up your marriage. He'll show up on Monday and try to get in something. He is persistent, but he's a defeated foe. So keep on doing what you're doing. Now, my dream, I'm a preacher. So what he was saying, that when I do what I do, I gain the victory. I don't know what you do. Maybe you're a prayer. Maybe you are a worshiper. So if you're a worshiper, don't wait till Sunday morning to start worshiping, because that's how you get your victory. That's how you wrestle. That's how you pin the enemy. So go through the house and begin to worship the Lord. Put worship music on. Whatever it is that you do, do it. Some people, I'm a journaler. We journal, write, whatever it is that you do. I'm a giver. Well, you start upping your giving, because whatever it is that God has given you to do, you are wrestling to get it done. And guess what? All you're doing is open the door for your blessing to come in. All right, so let's put this up here on the screen. It says this: victory in key battles necessitate a shift in how you're viewed thereafter. So going back to, no matter what happens in the next games, forever the Pacers will be known as the 2025 Eastern Conference champions. They'll be known that way forever, because certain battles, it changes how you are called from hereafter, because there are certain victories that elevate the game. And this is why you are going to have a rebrand, because your next victory is going to change even what hell calls you. You know, I'll say this, and it's apropos because I'm dressed this way, but normally, I don't like it when people call me bishop, because I'm a pastor and I have not been elevated to the bishopric, which means you are pastor over pastors. But in the last several years, no matter what I do, people call me bishop. And I started realizing maybe it's because hell sees me as bishop before even the world sees me as bishop. In other words, there are certain things. The reason why people call you what they call you is because the heavenlies know who you are before you got there. I'm looking at generals in the kingdom of God. I'm looking at sergeants in the kingdom of God. We used to sing a song that said, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. But you're more than just a soldier. Some of y'all are captains and sergeants and general. And the world may not know it yet, but heaven knows it. And that's why your life is shifting and why you need to rebrand. Because when you become a sergeant, you can't be treated like a low-level soldier. You can't treat me like something below because I outrank. Let me tell you something. There's some folk that talking about you that you outrank. You don't even need to defend yourself because you outrank them. Here's the thing. A soldier cannot talk about a general because the general outranks the soldier. I'm here to tell you there's some stuff in your life that you just simply outrank. And that's why you need the rebranding, because you're better than that. You're higher than that. You're more elevated than that. You are greater than that. That is beneath you. I'm not trying to tell you to get the big head, but there's some stuff that's simply beneath you. There's some stuff that's below you. You have graduated. Here's the thing. If you have a master's degree, there's no reason why you should be using coloring books for your education, because you have outclassed that. You have outranked that. Well, baby, color inside the circle. No, I'm beyond coloring inside the circles. I've been in calculus. I've been in trigonometry. I've been in algebra. I'm not in kindergarten level. And I'm looking at some saints that are not on kindergarten level. But you have your PhD in demonology. You have your PhD in prayer. You have your PhD in worship. So stop acting like you're below. Stop acting like you're beneath, because you have graduated with cap and gown and you got a diploma behind your name to prove it.
Amen.
All right. So that brings me to number four. Here's number four. This is reversal. So as you begin to go through this rebrand, there's some stuff that just got to be reversed. Some stuff just got to be turned. There are some demons that have been headed towards your house, and before they get there, they realize, they outranked me, and they done turned, and they've left. Bishop Mitchell used to say they got to get their little hat, got to get their little coat, their little glove, and they got to go. There's some spirits that can't even show up because you have outclassed them. When they first got the assignment to attack you, you were on one level, but you so tenacious and you so strong. By the time they make their way to attack you, they realize we need some reinforcements. We got to go back because they are greater than what I thought there was. And I'm trying to tell you, you're greater than what you ever knew. So that's why you got to rebrand. Let's look at this. We're gonna go through something that's not as familiar. Another rebrand that's not as familiar. So let's cover it again. We got Abram to Abraham, Sarai to Sarah, Jacob to Israel. But now let's look at something unfamiliar, which is Hosea. Hosea chapter 1, verse 2 says what?
When the Lord first began speaking to Israel through Hosea, he said to him, "Go and marry a prostitute so that some of her children will be conceived in prostitution." This will illustrate how Israel has acted like a prostitute by turning against the Lord and worshiping other gods.
Now, I won't get into so much detail in this, but this is a hard story when you really get into it. Many times the reason why your story sometimes is hard, because it is a signal of what God goes through trying to love his people. So let's jump down to verse 6. It says what?
Soon Gomer became pregnant again and gave birth to a daughter. And the Lord said to Hosea, "Name your daughter Lo-Ruhama."
Sorry, we need to go back to that next verse 6. All right.
"Not loved, for I will no longer show love to the people of Israel or forgive them."
So name her Lo-Ruhama, because I can't love them anymore
because they are an adulterous generation. So she got a rough name. So if you read Hosea, it's a beautiful thing, but it's very interesting what happens. So let's look at verse 8.
After Gomer had weaned Lo-ruhamah, she again became pregnant and gave birth to a second son.
All right, let's look at what verse 9 says what.
And the Lord said, name him Lo-ami, not my people, for Israel is not my people, and I am not their God.
Now, this is some tough language from God himself in the Old Testament. Many of us ought to be grateful that we live after the cross.
Amen.
Not before the cross. So he said, go get you a prostitute. Well, that ain't the type of woman I really want, God. And I said, God, no, you my prophet, and I want to show you how the people treat me. So go get you somebody that is not the best. And then he had children with them. He had three. He had one. We didn't talk about that one. Then we had this daughter named Lo-ruhamah, which it means that not love, because I ain't loving my people anymore. And then you're going to have another son, and you're going to name him Lo-ami, which means not my people, because I'm done with my people. So that is chapter 1. We sure need a rebrand somewhere. Let's look at what chapter 2 says.
At that time, I will plant a crop of Israelites and raise them for myself. I will show love to those I called not loved. And to those I called not my people, I will say, now you are my people. And they will reply, you are our God.
The story of Hosea is actually the story of God's mercy. He's saying, I'm looking at folk that I don't have any business loving. I'm looking at people that should not be my people. And actually, I'm going to put it over your name. You're not loved and you're not my people. But by the time you get to the next verse, he said, oh, by the way, you are going to be loved and you're going to be my people. So what are we saying? Basically, what we're saying is them is the folk that belong to the deliverance temple. In other words, folk that don't have no business God stepping in and turning around, but because of his mercy and because of his grace, he says, even though I shouldn't love you, I can't help but love you. Even though you shouldn't be my people, I'm still going to call you my people, and you're going to call me your God. So let's look at this and put it up. As we're coming to a close here. God's goal is to reverse every curse, even ones we deserve, with his love and mercy. So here's a rebrand for all of us at Deliverance Temple. God has offered us his deliverance even when we shouldn't be delivered. Okay, when somebody does something to us, we want God to deliver us. And we deserve to be delivered because it wasn't our fault. They did it to us. But what happens when we did it to us? When I'm my own problem and I'm my own enemy, that's a reason for God to say, you know what? Done with you. Done with Andre. Done with Teresa. Done with Joyce. But because, let me do it like this. Because God is a God and he does have feelings, he has a right to be done with Andre. He has a right to be done with Teresa. He has a right to be done with Joyce. But every now and then God turns and he sees his cross. And he sees his son on the cross. And the Bible says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. So he turns and he looks at us, but now he looks at us through the cross. He looks at us through his son. He looks at us through the agency of the blood of Jesus. And because of that, he says, oh, by the way, Teresa's my girl. Oh, by the way, Joyce is my girl. Oh, by the way, Andre's my boy. And somebody will say, and the scripture calls Satan the accuser of the brethren. Somebody would say, well, don't you know what Teresa done? And then God would say, but don't you know what my son's blood has done? Well, don't you know what Andre did? Didn't you hear what Andre said? Didn't you see what Andre thought? But did you see the blood of my son? And because of the blood of the Lamb, I have made choice to look at you and rebrand you based on my blood. So yes, I'm not good enough, but his blood
is good enough. Yes, I shouldn't be delivered, but his blood has washed me. Yes, I shouldn't be what I am, but because of the blood of the Lamb. And that's why you don't have no business coming into a house of God and somebody got to beg you to praise the Lord. When I think of the blood of Jesus, when I think of the cross of Christ, when I think of the forgiveness of the Lamb, when I think of his grace and his mercy, it gives me a reason to thank the Lord. I don't know what it's like to be in perfect church. I don't know what it's like to go to church where ain't nobody ever messed up and made a mistake. I'm so glad I'm not in perfect church, but I'm in deliverance temple where it's folk that's got to be delivered, but we're holding on to the unchanging hands of the Lord, knowing that God's not going to leave us like he found us. He's always going to turn us around. He's going to reverse every curse, every generational curse. God is reversing it and turning it into a blessing. Just like Joseph said, y'all meant it for evil, but God has turned it for good. I'm here to let you know that good is coming my way because God is reversing it for me. All right. Let's stay on our feet for our confession. Stay in our seats for our confession. This time, and normally the confessions are my words, this time I'm borrowing words from a song. It's a song from Tamela Mann. And just say it with me. Say, change me, O God. Make me more like you. Change me, O God. Wash me through and through. Create in me a clean heart so that I may worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let's stand to our feet for our communion. We're getting the rebrand that we need. All right, here's going into our communion. And I've got this I want to share as you guys are opening up your elements. Communion is not just remembrance. It's also rebranding. From sinner to saint, from rejected to redeemed, from broken to blessed, and from lost to love. I'm going to read those again because this is us. From sinner to saint, from rejected to redeemed, from broken to blessed, and from lost to love. Let's go to our communion scripture. We're going to start off with the bread. It says this, and he took bread and gave thanks and break it. Do me a favor, just break it a little before you put it in your mouth. This, it mirrors him being broken, but it remembers your brokenness. It reminds us of your brokenness. All right. He gave it to him saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Now eat the broken bread. And as you eat, there's still some places in your life that is broken. But I hear God say, I'm healing all the broken places. Woo! And I'm touching all the broken pieces. I'm healing all the broken places, and I'm touching all the broken pieces. Likewise also, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shared for you. Let's take a moment. Let's drink. This is just an outward symbol. Nothing in the cracker, the wafer, nothing in the juice, but the symbol is so powerful. And that blood, it comes in to wash you. And the scripture says to make us white as snow. Every dirty place is washed. Woo, I felt that. I felt that too. Every dirty place is washed by his blood. You know what? Really, when you walked in here, you just walked into a washing machine. So the blood of God can just wash you from every one of your sins. Like tied with bleach, he's making you whiter than snow. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let's bow our head and let's pray. Those online, hopefully you are enjoying this communion as well. Let's pray together. Dear gracious Heavenly Father God, we give you praise. We love you and we praise you, God. We are going through a rebrand, but we're coming out on the other side much better because you are the CEO of our life and you're elevating us to higher heights, to deeper depths, from faith to faith, from glory to glory, and brand new blessings for the end of this year, this last half of the year, brand new blessings that everybody can say, this is the Lord's doing. And it's marvelous in our eyes. And we give you praise for it. In Jesus' name. And let everybody say, amen. Amen. God bless you. We thank you. We praise you. We love you. Have a wonderful, wonderful week.